بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the important lessons for the Ummah, and we have reached the pillars of Islam. We covered the pillar on Zakah, part 1, and we go now to part 2 on Zakah, and this refers to Ahlul Zakah, the recipients of Zakah, or the beneficiaries of Zakah. And they are 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this clear in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 60. Surah At-Tawbah, verse 60. Chapter 9, verse 60. قال الله تعالى إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل. الصدقات, here it refers to zakah, are only for the fuqara and al-masakeen, and we will discuss each one of these categories, and those employed to collect the zakah, meaning the funds, the collectors, and for to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined towards Islam, and to free the captives, and for those in debt, and for Allah's cause, and for the wayfarer, a duty imposed by Allah, and Allah is all-knower, all-wise. So these are the categories or the recipients, the beneficiaries of zakah, those who deserve it. There are 8. So the specification of 8 indicates that it is not permissible to give the zakah to other than these 8, because the restriction affirms the ruling, and thus it is not permissible to give the zakah for the construction of mosques, nor for the construction of schools, nor to infrastructure, and so forth, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained this specifically in this verse. The first recipients or beneficiaries, al-fuqara, al-fuqara, first one, and they, the fuqara, refer to the poor. The fuqara refer to the poor, those who find less than half of what they need, or they don't have anything. And the second category is to the masakeen, the needy, those who find half of what they need, but less than their entire need. What is sufficient? Less than what is sufficient. Take for example, someone receives an annual sum of 5,000, while he spends in the year 10,000. So in this case, he is miskeen. In this case, he is miskeen. Because he finds half of his spending. And if his annual salary is 4,000, and he needs to spend 10,000, if he needs to spend 10,000, then he is poor. And if he doesn't have a job or work to do, then he is also poor. He is called faqir because he is empty-handed. Its origin comes from the Arabic al-qafr, referring to unpopulated land. Now, when we said earlier about the miskeen who doesn't find half of what he needs, or he finds but less than what is sufficient. And what is sufficient here covers himself and covers those under his care. So not only that which is sufficient for his food and drink and housing, clothing, no. It also covers his nikah, if he needs to marry. So if he has what he needs for food, drink, clothing, and housing, but he doesn't have what is sufficient for the mahr, the dowry, so he is to be given from the zakah to cover the dowry. Also, if he has what is sufficient for him for his food, drinks, clothing, housing, but he is a student of knowledge who needs to buy books, so in this case we give him what is needed to cover his needs of books only. Because if he is to be given that which is needed for his physical nourishment, then he is also to be given that which is needed for his spiritual nourishment. But he is not to be given to establish a special study room or a huge library, but rather to give him what is sufficient for him in seeking the knowledge only. If, on the other hand, a man is able to work and earn a living, he is able, he has the ability to work, but he doesn't have money. So he has the ability to work and earn money, but he doesn't have the money. Meaning he intends to have full time for seeking knowledge. So this person can be given from the zakah, because seeking knowledge is a kind of jihad in the cause of Allah. And this supports what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah went to regarding the permissibility to have wagers given in competition in knowledge to people compete about a certain matter of knowledge. One of them says to the other, we will assign for you if you get the right answer, I will give you 100. And if I get the right answer, you give me 100. Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, considered this permissible. Even though many of the scholars are on the opinion that this is not permissible, and that competition and racing is only for a wager is only limited to three kinds, for as in the hadith, wagers are allowed only for racing camels or horses or shooting arrows, as in reported by Abu Dawood, and it is authentic. Why? Here Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, considered that this is also permissible in the situation we discussed in terms of seeking knowledge, because knowledge is one kind of jihad in the cause of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered it as a counter with jihad in his saying in Surah At-Tawbah in 9:122. وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. And it's not proper for the believers to go out to fight in jihad all together, or every troop of them, a party only should go forth, that they are who left behind may get instructions in Islamic religion, and that they may warn their people when they return to them, so that they may beware of evil. So therefore, the correct opinion is that of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. However, if someone who is able to work, however he loves worship, he loves to fast a day and break another day and fast another day and so forth, or to pray in the latter third of the night, this one we don't give him from zakah. Because the benefit of the worship is restricted to the worshipper in this case. It does not transcend him, as it is the case with knowledge. And that's why it is said, the death of a scholar is more intense upon shaitan from the death of 1,000 worshippers. The death of one scholar is more intense upon shaitan than the death of 1,000 worshippers. And it is said that the soldiers of Shaitan say to him, why you are pleased with the death of the scholar but not pleased with the death of the worshipper? He said, I will show you. So he sent to the worshipper and asked him the question, is Allah able to make the heavens and the earth all inside an egg? Put them in one egg? So the worshipper said, no, he's unable. And he sent to the scholar and asked him the same question. So the scholar said, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And it is that his command, if he wants something, he says to it, be, and it will be. So, back now to the categories. The second category وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. The second category refers to the collectors of the zakah fund. So we covered the faqir category, the miskeen category. The third, the collectors of zakah funds. Those who collect, the collectors, this refers to three actually. Those who collect, and those who keep record, and those who distribute to the recipients. All of those are considered under the collectors of zakah funds. Those who collect, those who keep record, those who distribute. It is not conditional that people from this category are to be poor. They are to be given from the zakah even if they are rich. Why? Because they work for the benefit of zakah. Because they work for the benefit of zakah. Not for their own need. No. Suppose they are fuqara. Suppose they are poor, and what's allocated to them from the salary, for example, or from the what's allocated to them for their effort is not enough for their spending and upon themselves and their families and those whom they care for. Then in this angle, from this angle, they take it due to two things. So they will be given for their work and they will be given for their poverty. The fourth category. وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. المؤلفة قلوبهم. And those hope to attract their hearts for, number one, towards Islam, incline them towards Islam. He's a kafir, but it is hoped and anticipated that if he is given from the zakah, he will be inclined towards Islam. So he will be given from zakah, because this gives life to his heart and his life in this life and for the hereafter. Islam meaning. And if the poor is given to give life to his body, then giving the kafir whose Islam is hoped takes precedence by all means. And the one who is hoped or inclined to become a Muslim or towards Islam, this is not just mere hope. There should be some indications for his inclination towards Islam. Like, for example, he requests books, tapes, asks questions out of interest and the like. So there must be a foundation for this hope. Otherwise, it can be imagination. The second who falls under this are those whose evil is hoped to be warded off if given the zakah. An evil person whose actions are injurious to Muslims and to their wealth and their honor, so he can be given to ward off his evil. He falls under this category. Also, who falls under this category, someone, if given from the zakah, then it will keep him steadfast and increase his iman, his faith. Like someone whose faith is weak, negligent concerning salah and sadaqah, or in hajj and siyam and the like. So if he is to be given to preserve his life and his body, then to give him to preserve his deen, also, by all means, takes priority. The fifth category, وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. And this refers to the male or female slaves who made written contracts with their masters to buy off their freedom. Male or female slaves who made written contracts with their masters to buy off their freedom. So these are contracted slaves whose freedom is secured through the payment of zakah. Also, also falls under this is a Muslim captive with the kuffar. Zakah can be given to save him and release him. And this captive may be taken by the kafirs due to war in fighting, or by abduction. Also falls under this to buy a slave from the zakah fund to free him. So three categories, therefore, three types fall under this category. However, if a slave is freed by his master so that he can calculate that in zakah, then this is not permissible. The sixth category, those in debt. And two types fall under this category. One who is in debt in account of a personal loan he took and is unable to pay it off. So this is debt for him own, for his own self. So in this case, the debt can be paid from the zakah fund. The second type is the one who is in debt due to his effort to reconcile between people, between parties, between groups having enmity and having fitna between them. So there he comes to reconcile, but he may not be able to reconcile except by spending some money. So he says, for example, I take it upon myself to pay each one of you 10,000, but with the condition that you mend this situation and reconcile. And they accept that. So this person now is in debt for this benefit for others, for reconciliation. Therefore he can be given from the zakah fund to fulfill the debt. So in this case he will be given how much? How much we give him in this situation, in this example? How much do we give him in this case? $20,000. That's right. That's right. Now, but suppose he pays from his own pocket. Is he entitled to be given? Now, if he pays from his own self, then in this case, he is not. This is not considered a debt. So he is not in debt now. Now, suppose, however, he fulfills from his money with the intention of referring to the people of zakah. Then in this case, he is to be given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nisa in 4:114, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. There is no good in most of their secret talks save in him who orders sadaqah, charity in Allah's cause, or ma'ruf, islamic, doing good, or conciliation between mankind. Now suppose this person who makes this effort to reconcile is rich. Meaning, is it conditional that he is poor? No, it's not a condition that he must be poor. So the one in debt for reconciliation is to be given from the zakah even if he is rich. Because we give him for the fact, due to the fact that we need him. And in this case it is not conditional that he must be poor. An example concerning the debt on account of a personal loan that he is unable to pay. Here we take an example. Someone is in debt for 10,000. And his monthly salary is 1,000. And what he needs to spend upon himself and upon those whom he cares for under his obligation is 1,000 per month. Should we pay him the 10,000 to close his debt? Should we give him to close his debt now? Is he considered in this case entitled from the first category? Yes, of course. Because now he is poor from the side of being unable to pay back. Unable to pay back. So we don't give him from the zakah because of his poverty, in terms of our definition of poverty earlier. No. Why? Because his salary is sufficient for him, but rather we give him because of the debt that he owes, and he is unable to pay it. You understand the difference? No. Someone falls in debt in that which is haram. Can we give him from zakah? The answer is, if he repents, we give him. Otherwise, no. Because if we give him and he did not repent, then this will be helping him on this which is forbidden. What about the indebted dead person who did not leave wealth behind to close his debt? He died while in debt. The scholars differed regarding the payment from zakah under this situation. The majority of the scholars are with the opinion that it is not permissible. And the evidence of the he is in debt. He took a loan and he died. He owned the money. So if he has wealth left behind, then his heirs will close the loan from that property or something which he left. Is that clear? No. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. So we said that the majority opinion is that zakah is not to be given to pay what he owns. And they cited as evidence that the Messenger ﷺ used to come, or they would bring the deceased, and who is in debt. And the Prophet ﷺ will ask, does he have something to pay off? If they say yes, he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, would proceed and make the salah, the funeral prayer. And if they say no, he wouldn't, and he would say, صلوا على صاحبكم. He pray the funeral prayer on your fellow, on your companion. Then after wealth became abundant, he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever left a debt, then its fulfillment is upon me. It is known that in the beginning, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had zakah funds, yet he did not fulfill or pay from it to close these debts. And had this been permissible, he would have done this in order to pray the funeral prayer on this on the deceased, as he used to do afterwards. And also it is to be said that the living takes precedence, because the debt is harmful upon him, and the dead had proceeded to his accountability. If he took his loan intending to pay it back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do that on his behalf. But if he took it not intending to do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't, as in the hadith. Whoever takes the wealth of people intending to fulfill it and pay it back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do that on his behalf. And it is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And this is the correct opinion. The second opinion said by some of the scholars, and from them is Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that it is permissible to pay off the loan on behalf of the dead from the zakah if he did not leave a property or a wealth that would close such a loan. But as you see, the stronger opinion and the correct opinion is that of the majority of the scholars. The next category, في سبيل الله, in the cause of Allah. In the cause of Allah, this is restricted to the jihad in the cause of Allah. Zakah funds spent in the jihad for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some of the scholars claim that what is intended by the term fi sabilillah, in Allah's cause, covers all ways of good. However, the majority of the scholars are with the opinion that what is intended here is the particular jihad. And so the jihad fighters will be given from zakah that which will be sufficient for their jihad and for buying what they need from weapons and so forth. And this is the correct opinion. Because if we say that this is open for all ways of good, then restriction would have no meaning. Restriction, the beginning, the start of the ayahs, it is started with a restriction of 8. So if we take by this opinion that it is open for all ways of good, then the restriction would have no meaning or benefit. Now, seeking knowledge, as we said earlier, is from the jihad for sabilillah. And this was explained earlier. So the seekers of knowledge are entitled. The next category, وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, and for the wayfarer, a traveler who is stranded, who runs short of funds or cut off from everything. So this refers to the traveler. So we give this way this traveler, even though in his own country, in his own town, he is of the richest, but in his travel he was cut off, because in this situation he needs. So we don't tell him under these circumstances, you are rich, go and take a loan. How much is he to be given? He's to be given that which does not diminish of his rank and his status. And there is no difference under this situation, whether he is on a long journey or a short journey. What about if he is travel for something haram? He traveled to do something haram. Then in this case, he is not to be given from the zakah, particularly unless he repents. So we tell him, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will give you. So he will benefit two things here: the repentance, and second, fulfilling his need. Now, suppose this person wants to travel, and he wants to initiate his travel from his hometown, and he says, I need to travel to Medina, for example, and he doesn't have funds. In this case, we don't give him as a wayfarer. However, if his travel for Medina is necessity, then we give him a due to another angle, and that is his poverty. You understand the difference? So we give him that which will take him to Medina and bring him back. Now, suppose a person now has a large family. Then he is to be given that which is sufficient for them all. Suppose that living expenses are high and he needs 100,000 a year. Then we give him 100,000. This verse, there are certain matters to be discussed. First, that the zakah is payable to these categories. Now, is it permissible to restrict paying the zakah to every individual of each category? You understand? Is it permissible to restrict paying the zakah to every individual of each category? Or is it permissible to give it to an individual of each category? The correct opinion is that it is permissible to limit it to an individual of each category. And what is intended is, and the meaning here is, it does not mean that you pay for all the poor in the category of the poor. You understand? If we say if we take by, you know, it in general, this would necessitate that it will cover all the poor in the country. And this is incorrect. You understand the difference between the two. Second, is it a must to cover, to distribute among all the categories mentioned? You understand the question? Is it a must to distribute amongst all the categories mentioned? The ulama differed concerning this matter, and the correct opinion that it is permissible to restrict it to one category. And this is evident from the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal. The hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, narrated from Ibn Abbas, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to Yemen and told him, أعلمهم, tell them, meaning to the people of the book, if they accept Tawheed and perform Salah, then he told them, أعلمهم أن الله, then tell them that Allah ordained upon them charity in their wealth to be taken from their rich and given to their poor. Here he didn't mention except one category out of the eight. And therefore, the distribution of the zakah can go to one category of the eight, or إلى شخص واحد, or to one individual, would be sufficient from the category. It is a sunnah to distribute the zakah to one's relatives. A needy relative, when it is not binding upon him to spend upon them, if it is binding, then it is not permissible. So it's the sunnah to distribute the zakah to one's relative when it is not binding upon the person to spend upon them, like spending on one's, giving to one's relative who is his brother, his uncle, maternal or paternal uncles, aunts, and the like. So if they are from the people, from the beneficiaries of zakah, then the sunnah, and it is better even to give the zakah to them, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, صَدَقَتُكَ عَلَى ذِي الْقُرْقَرَابَةِ صَدَقَةٌ وَصِلَةٌ. Your charitable gift to your relatives is a charity and a maintaining of relations of kinship with them. So it combines therefore two matters. And so the donor's own dependents, whom he must maintain, are not entitled to a share of his or her zakah. It's a sunnah to distribute the zakah to one's relative, to donate it to one's relative, when it is not binding upon the person to maintain them. Why it is not permissible in case they are dependent, where it is binding upon him to spend upon them? Because in this case, his spending of the zakah on them drops what is obligated upon him. and this is forbidden. It's not permissible for the person to drop that which is obligated upon him by way of zakah or by way of expiations. Give it to those upon whom it's a must that he maintains. Here, for example, take an example. I have people whom it's a must upon me to spend upon them. So if I give them zakah, which will be sufficient for them for 1 year, more or less, it is not permissible to give them. Because if this will turn them to be sufficient, so my duty to spend upon them, what is, fill the blanks, is dropped. So I dropped a duty upon me. And that's why it is forbidden.